Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Praise the Lord. Anybody here heard of a man called Watchman Nee? Yeah? Amazing, isn't it? What an amazing man of God. What an amazing anointing on his life. Watchman Nee tells the story of a box of chocolates he was given one Sunday morning as a gift from one of his parishioners. It was shaped like a box of chocolates. It rattled like a box of chocolates. It was beautifully wrapped. And he thought to himself, it's just before church. I've just received this gift. Should I open it or should I leave it? Well, he said, all through church, I'm thinking, I wonder if it is a box of chocolates. I'm wondering if indeed it's not chocolates at all, that perhaps it's gold coins. Perhaps it's something else. Perhaps it's just rocks. Perhaps this guy's just playing a bit of a prank on me. And he says, it wasn't until I got home I decided that at the bottom of my bag was this box, and it's still beautifully wrapped. And he thought to himself, I should unwrap it just to make sure it was chocolate. And so he unwrapped the box, and once he'd got the pretty paper off, underneath was a beautiful chocolate box wrapped in cellophane. He said, well, anyone can get cellophane and wrap rocks in a box and give it to me as a gift. His thought was, well, perhaps it's gold nuggets. Perhaps it's not chocolates at all. Perhaps I'm going to open it up instead of chocolates. I'm going to be rich. He said, I opened it up, and to his surprise, it was chocolate. And we can be like that with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. So this morning I want to share briefly what the connection is between the Word of God and God's Holy Spirit. You might say, well, that's pretty dumb. But I wonder really whether you've got that connection yourself. I wonder whether you realize that yes, there's the Father, the God of love. Yes, there's the Son, Jesus, who became flesh, the Word, dwelt amongst us, John chapter 1. But in John, Jesus also said that it's advantageous for you that I go and I will send another Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Three different individuals, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But three working together, Father, the God of love. The Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. But where are you going to be if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit connecting the three together? Amen? So this morning we're going to start in Genesis. What a great place to start. Genesis chapter 1. Praise the Lord. You know, it's just awesome to be able to share God's Word wherever I go and tell the good news about Jesus, the opportunities that each of us have to reflect Jesus, to shine Jesus, long before we open our mouth and spoil the story of Jesus. You see, everything God has ever done and everything God will ever do, He's done and He will do with His Word. All on the same page now? The Word of God created heaven and earth. It created everything around us that we know. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, the words God said appear. It says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years. Let me just pause there. This wasn't just a switch on the light, switch off the light moment. God could have done that easily. But God spoke His Word, and His Word had such depth in it. It wasn't just you and I would say, as Australian males, lights on, lights off, that's it. Look at the way God designed light here. Let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be signs and for seasons and for days and for years. God said, and something amazing come into process that hasn't stopped since the day he spoke it. He did make the sun stand still for a day. Genesis 1 and verse 20, then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance. Sounds like a good fishing story. Of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 29, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. All God did in creation, he did by his word. There was no magic wand. There was no abracadabra. He spoke into existence specifically what he wanted to create. And the Bible says, and it was so. You realize that when Jesus comes again, he's going to put down the Antichrist by his word. Doesn't say he's going to bring the heavenly host with him and they're all going to have these mighty swords and they're going to cut down the Antichrist. Come to 2 Thessalonians with me. Chapter 2 and verse 8. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2 and verse 8. The Antichrist is going to be defeated by the word of the soon coming king. These words have got power, haven't they? And it says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. It's something about the word of God that has this amazing power to create, to capture, to bring into surrender, to bring down, and to destroy, depending on what the word is designed to do. Amen? I told you we were going to start in Genesis. I told you we were going to go to Revelation. So come with me to Revelation chapter 19, verse 13 now, and it's not the end of the sermon. And we find here in this passage that the name of Jesus is the Word of God. As it was said in John chapter 1, so again says in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13, it says he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This Word of God from beginning to end and right through Scripture is such a powerful thing that we can't overlook the fact that the Word of God was authored by the Spirit of God. So to know the Word properly, we must also know the Holy Spirit personally. Bold statement. To know the Word of God properly, we must know the Holy Spirit personally. I've used the illustration before. How many of us have read the Bible cover to cover, starting in Genesis, finishing in Revelation? One, thank you, Chris. That's the two of us. Steve has. Three? Oh, come on. Really? And pre-Christ, hungry for God, I read the Bible cover to cover, looking for God, could not find Him. Boring. But I didn't know the Spirit of God, therefore it was just a story upon story upon story, and I found it, I'm going to be honest, boring. But when the Holy Spirit of God entered me, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, when I was bathed in His presence, when the hunger became an internal hunger rather than the head-natured number, hunger, I found that the Word of God started to speak to me. And I don't know about you, but the Word of God is either life or it's boring. I don't find it can be an in-between. And I know that the Holy Spirit wants us as a church to lay hold of His Word as though our very lives depended on it. So this morning I want to talk about the topic, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I want to talk it through five key points. I want us to see that the Spirit of God is so important if we're to take hold of the life that the Word of God is meant to bring. Okay? Number one then. We start off with a comment, the Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is eternal. Psalm 119, verse 89 says this, forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. How long? Really? But we're in 2016 now. Do you know how old this book is? Do you know how long ago Genesis was written? It's not factual anymore. It's a lot of mumbo-jumbo, blood and guts, families splitting up, families getting married, bit of interracial stuff, bit of power and glory. Come on. It doesn't happen in today's life, does it? It does, doesn't it? So many people have pushed God's Word aside and said it's not relevant to today's living. It's not relevant to the way we do our life in modern culture. Friends, it's more relevant today, I believe, than it's been for a long, long, long time. You see, along with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, His Word is eternal. And if it's eternal in heaven, which means that the entire Word of God was in heaven before the world was even created, that says something to me about the power that's in the Word of God. It's lasted through the seasons. It's lasted through the years. It's lasted through the centuries. Amen? People are still buying the book. People are still downloading the book. How many copies? How many versions? How many hard copies? How many e-copies? How many electronic versions do you have of your Bible? If you were to stop and think about it. 5 different versions on my phone alone. 7 different versions on my iPad. At least 6 different versions of hard copy in my library. At least 4 in my library here at work. Home, it just felt like home. You realize that the last verse in Revelation was written in heaven before the first book in Genesis was put to paper or parchment? God already had Revelation in heaven before Moses was given instruction to write Genesis chapter 1. So you think about all those scholarly scholars who sit behind their desks, get up before whiteboards, put papers on the internet, run colleges, run seminaries, run all sorts of courses, and advance the heresy that God gave the thoughts of His Word to man, and man just put them down in his own words. You can't really believe all this stuff, can you? Really? Think about it. How can a virgin carry a child? How can the Son of God be the Son of Man? How can a bush burn without really burning? And there's so many experts out there trying to convince us that this word is made up of man's thoughts, even though it's given by God, they just put it in their own words. Now, I'm not arguing that everyone has this style of writing. You read the writings of Paul. He writes them in letter form. Dear church, to the saints in Ephesus, to the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in Philippi. Dr. Luke just puts it down in such analytical form. John writes in his own style, but it's all inspired by the Word of God. It makes us believe sometimes in worldly thinking that each man was given the truth and he just interpreted it his own way and wrote his own story. But can I remind us all that God did not share the truths of his word to fit the man? He gave us a man to fit his word. Think about that. That's hard on a Sunday morning, isn't it? He didn't give you a scripture to tickle your ears. He didn't give you a scripture to make you feel all fuzzy and warm. God gave us his word to change our lives, to give us a hope, to give us a future, to make us look towards the plan he's got for us. His word was never designed to suit the personality of a man or human vocabulary. But God created in heaven a personality and a man with a certain type of vocabulary that when he came to earth, he revealed the very nature of his Father through the words he shared and the inspiration he gave to those who followed him. Are you with me this morning? So that eternal word is an eternal word in heaven long before it first came here to earth. Number two this morning, God gave his word to man. He gave his word to common people like you and I. He changed mindsets of people so they weren't just ordinary anymore. They were extraordinary because they had the very Spirit of God alive in them. If you've got your Bibles open, come with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Watching. 2 Peter chapter 1. You should all have your Bibles in front of you. Verses 20 and 21. Second book of Peter. Chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. They just didn't get a, you know, wake up in the morning, gee, that pizza was good last night. I can still taste the garlic. Wow, that's an inspiration of God. There's so many people out there mocking the authenticity of this word that it's actually beyond belief that they can be so dumb even though they're so smart. The word moved there is the Greek word phero, P-H-E-R-O, pronounced phero, not feral, phero. It means to be carried, to be led, or to be born, shifted by the Holy Spirit. So here I am sitting in my study, thinking about what to preach on a Sunday. Just read a great article in the latest computer magazine. I wonder if I could just twist that around to make it sound spiritual. No. God drops his word into my spirit. It may be a word, it may be a verse, it may be a passage. But on that, the revelation comes by the Holy Spirit entering into me and adding life to that word. Let me read that scripture again because it says so much about the validity of the Word of God. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God. Praise God for holy men of God. And spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God literally breathed his word to man. He breathed his word. You know, when you read out aloud, you're actually breathing out the word of God. It's actually adding power to it. That's why we love to read the word of God out aloud. In my own private study time, I read it out aloud so I can hear myself reading the word of God. So literally it's translated, the holy breath of God came into these men of God as they began to transcribe what God was saying to them. Aren't you glad that we've got this recorded now? And we can go back and refer to what God spoke to holy men about, and we can live our lives based on what God said to them. God spoke to Moses and told him to write. You want me to do what, God? This is what I want you to write. And Moses began to translate what God was saying, not into his own words, not into his own language, but into a style that now when we read Genesis chapter 1, we see the unfolding of the creation of God. Holy Spirit, the holy breath of God moved upon man, and God literally breathed his book into man. He spoke in the beginning. Moses wrote in the beginning. God says, God created heaven and earth. Moses writes, God created heaven and earth. He didn't say, oh, better make that sound good. I'm going to put the word God in there. No, God spoke it and Moses wrote it. The fact remains that it is the word of God. It is eternal and forever settled in heaven, and that God gave his word to man as he breathed his word upon him, and man wrote it word for word as God gave it. Number three, the Holy Spirit accompanies the Word of God. How many here today understand that the Word can be very dry if it's not accompanied by the Spirit of God? You ever forced yourself to do a Bible study? You're really not in the zone, but this is what you do every day. This is the time of day you do it. This is the length of time you do it, and there's no Spirit in it. You're doing it out of religious commitment. You're doing it because you feel you have to. You feel that it's pleasing God. But God's plan, friends, is that you do it because his Spirit is in it. Come back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. I'm on track this morning. I'm down to dot point 3 already. Listen to what it says. To them, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. So the word of God was revealed to the men of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. We just finished explaining that. But it wasn't only for them, it was to equip them to go out with the good news, with the Spirit of God in it, to give it that power. Listen to the way the New Living Translation says that scripture. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preach in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Can you picture heaven right now as I'm sharing the word of God with you? As you're laying hold of it, you say, I never knew that scripture even existed. I've never read it like that. The angels are watching, they're going, Lou finally got it. Wow, if Lou can get it, anybody can get it. Have a look, he's now sharing it with the rest of the church. I wonder if they'll get it. But the Holy Spirit accompanies his word. The trouble is we don't acknowledge that often enough. We read it for reading's sake. We read it because we want to be religious. We read it because someone else wants to hear it. How about a leading of the Holy Spirit? How about a presence of the Holy Spirit when we read the Word? How about a presence of the Holy Spirit when we share the Word? Amen? Kim said to me the other day about his experience in his earlier Christian walk where he witnessed down at Port Adelaide. Was it Saturday night, Friday night, both? Sometimes both? Man, now if you want a challenge to be evangelical, go down to Port Adelaide, in and around the pubs, speak to the drunks. And I'm sure the situation wouldn't just be alcohol now, there'd be drugs and domestic violence and all sorts happening down there. But he said, why don't we do it in Victor Harbour? Why don't we get him on the streets on a Saturday night? And I went through the fellowship list. And I went, yep, tick, tick, yep, tick. And you all got a tick that you could all do it. There's no reason on planet Earth why you all couldn't come out. Kim's going to show us how to do it. He's going to lead the way. And we're all going to be witnesses for Jesus on the streets of Victor Harbour, Friday and Saturday night, out in front of the pubs. You don't all look enthusiastic. I was waiting for you to jump out of your chairs and go, yes! Hey, I've got an amen. But we've got this stigma around the place called street preachers. That just recently we've had to battle with churches being chalked. You know, all sorts of Facebook entries, questions from the police. You know, churches getting really fearful, pub owners threatening violence, bikies being contacted to get them off the streets. And we go out, we witness Jesus because Holy Spirit's called us to go. And the first brand they put on us is what? Street preachers. You're all damned to hell. You're going to go to hell whether you know it or not. I don't know anything about you, but I'm going to tell you all about yourself. You see, God never intended that sort of violence when you speak His Word. Because that's a violent way to preach Jesus. You can't just see someone on the street and say, you're going to hell, man. Just because you don't comb your hair like I comb my hair. Just because you don't look and talk or dress like me doesn't mean you're going to hell. You see, this is why it's so important that we value God's involvement of the Holy Spirit in His Word. I'm going to make this really bold statement. I hope you don't stone me. Throw those tomatoes, zucchinis, eggplants, whatever else you got under your chairs at me. Eggs, you put them in the fridge, didn't you? The Bible alone is not the answer. How's that for boldness? It's very true. The Bible alone is not the answer. Teaching and preaching and sharing the Bible in the power of the Holy Spirit is the answer. Sharing Jesus when you've got the Holy Spirit guiding you and leading you is a lot better than just standing up there and thumping your Bible and telling them they're all going to hell. There's nothing more powerful than sharing the good news about Jesus when you've got Holy Spirit guiding the way. The Holy Spirit speaks to the outside world because He's doing something on the inside of the delivery boy or girl. Amen? He confirms the word that the Father's given him, that Jesus has shared, and when you open your mouth in His leading, it's His words, not your words, that come out. Amen? It's also wonderful just to sit and read His word and know that the Holy Spirit is involved in that reading time. I get so much out of reading the Word of God when Holy Spirit leads me to a certain passage or a certain verse. Or I just have this question, you know, like, God, what are you saying? I don't even know where the scripture is sometimes. I've got to, you know, type it in, concordance or on the computer. So, and then He just leads me. It's like, boing. I'm not a great believer in just flicking the pages and hoping it comes out to the right spot. I want Holy Spirit to lead me. So, Lou, this is what I want you to study for you. Oh, I don't have to share this with anyone. No, I want to correct you. I want to guide you. I want to lead you. I want to grow you. Out of that, other things flow. I don't want to just be a dry textbook teacher that bores people because, you know, the Greek and the Hebrew says this and this version says that, but that version says, I want the leading of the Holy Spirit to inspire Everyone who hears it, not just you, but all those others I share the word with. You know, I was talking with someone the other day and they'd heard a bit about my life story and they weren't sure about a couple of things. So they said to me, would you be prepared to sit down with me and actually share a little bit of your life with me? I said, yeah, sure. What do you need to know? And he said, oh, I've heard this, this and this. And I wasn't sure whether that was true or that was right. Or did you really used to be a banker and all this stuff? And so I sat down with him over a cup of coffee, and it was probably an hour and a half, nearly 2 hours, we were chatting. He said, you know what? Now that I've heard the story from you, I have much more plausibility in believing what I've been told than what I heard just in bits and pieces out there. And as he was saying that, I couldn't help but think about the Word of God. You know, where does it say in the Bible this, this, and this? I don't know. Does it actually say it in it? But when you're led by the Holy Spirit, what you don't know, he leads you to, and then you know it. What's not in there, you can't find it, so it's not in there, so it's not God. Amen? So that simple gesture of that man just sitting down and saying, is this true? Do you do that? Have you done that? Were you involved with it? I want to hear it from you. It's filled in the picture and now goes, I'm glad I heard it from you. The rumors aren't true. I'm not leaving town. But not only did the Holy Spirit authorize the Word of God, not only did he breathe it on holy men of told to move them to give it to us, but he's still available now to teach us, to lead us, to show us, to reveal to us the power that's in God's Word. Amen? So number four this morning, the Holy Spirit quickens the Word of God. Who's doing Bible reading a year? Anyone doing that formally here? No, I'm not even going to put my hand up because I don't either. I've often been challenged, should I do read the Bible in a year as a program? You know, everyone puts it out at the beginning of the year. Copeland say it, and Jesse says it, and Joyce says it, and this one says it. We could do it that way, but I want the Word to be, A, led by the Holy Spirit, and I want the revelation of that Word to be quickened to me by the Holy Spirit. John 6 and verse 63. John 6, 63. Where were we the other day? And I love that rustle of pages. People looking in their Bibles, not just waiting for me to put it up on the screen or whatever. I love it. The Bible's available on our smart devices. Here it is. John chapter 6, verse 63. It's in red in my Bible. Jesus must have said it. If Jesus said it, I believe it. Are you with me? It is the Spirit who gives life. Not the Jim Beam, not the Bacardi. The Spirit of God, capital S here, who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. This is Jesus speaking, remember? The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. And you grew up in Sunday school days where you actually didn't get what the Sunday school teacher was teaching you. It was just a lovely little story. Yeah, both hands up for me. I love God, but in my situation, I don't think they had the Spirit of the Lord with them, teaching us and expanding it, except for my beloved Sunday school teacher, Peter Daniels. You know, he just had so much of the Spirit in him. As a Baptist man, he was just going places for God like I could never grasp. Until I got filled with the Holy Spirit, met him again all those years ago, and just got it. But the Lord's words, they are spirit and they are life. The two going together. Amen? Boring, boring, boring scripture. No. Spirit and life. God himself, through the Holy Spirit, makes the Word alive to us and in us. So Watchman Nee was given a box of chocolates. They were given to him. They remained wrapped up. Very pretty looking, very, you know, presentation-wise, A1, glorious. He could have taken them home, put them on the shelf, put them in the pantry, put them in the fridge. What good are chocolates until they get into you? That's my grandkids. What good is the Word of God unless that Spirit of the Word gets into you with it? It is Spirit, it is life. Amen? You realize that most cults around the world are started by people who read the Bible? But they do not study it in the presence of the author. The religion Islam is based on a lot of the teachings of Jesus. A little bit of Middle Eastern stuff, a little bit of common sense. It became the Quran. You read some of the Buddhist sayings, some of the Baha'i sayings. You know, so much is Word of God, capital G, based, but it didn't have that Spirit of the author with it. I thank God that the author is available now, here, in this day and age, to teach us and to make it alive in us as we lay hold of it and get revelation of it. So we not only can we take it for ourselves, but we can share it with others with that same life in it. Amen? Point number 5. Doing well, Pastor Lou. The Holy Spirit teaches the deeper truths of the Word of God. The deeper truths. Anyone studied Hebrew and Greek here? Bless you. Anyone studied the Word led by the Holy Spirit? Much better response. Hebrew and Greek is good. Versions of the Bible are good. But make sure the version you're reading is as close to the original text as it can be. Make sure those words you're reading line up with God's will and His purpose in His Word, not just some flibbertigibbet making it sound good for this day and age. Listen to what Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So going back to point 4 then, and point 3 for that matter, if the Spirit of God is not in the Word, how are we going to line ourselves up those deep things of God? We're not even going to touch base one, are we? If the Spirit of God accompanies the Word, and the Spirit of God quickens the Word, then out of that, the relationship with Holy Spirit gives us access to the deeper truths of the Word of God. Amen? He not only teaches us what He said in the book, He teaches us what He meant when He said what was written in the book. You ever read a scripture growing up, or even in your early Christian years, your first formative years of being a, you know, follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then one day you get it, and you're embarrassing to tell one of your friends, you know that scripture in there, I just got it. They go, really? Really? They're really polite. I say, wow, that's amazing. They go, ah. But isn't that out of relationship? Isn't that like all our lives generally? You know, I was following someone test driving a new car the other day. Man, oh man, they were careful. They were ultra cautious. I bet they didn't know there were that many buttons and all sorts of gadgets in that car. And I'm sure they are trying to work out which one did the best while they're trying to drive this brand new car that they hadn't bought yet, because it still had the trader plate on it. And so with the things of God, sometimes we're just on L's. Sometimes we're just on P's. Sometimes we're just test driving a scripture. Sometimes we're looking for deep, but we can't get deep enough. The Bible tells us it's the Holy Spirit that gives us access He's the key to the deeper things of God. The Greek and the Hebrew were great. You may have really enjoyed that study. There's elements I enjoy. You know, I take Rick Renner and his Greek. Wow. But I'm not built like Rick Renner. I can't remember everything in Greek. I struggle in English some days. But through his word, when the Holy Spirit is attached to that word that you're looking at, he takes you from one level to the next, to the next. I know my hands are going up, but as you're going up, you're actually going deeper into God's word. You get a revelation on it. Amen? The truths in the word of God that the eye cannot see, that the ear cannot hear. But he who breathed the very book to us and for us through the holy men of old can sit beside us as we study out the word, as we meditate on the word. And he will teach us things that are just not on the surface. Dawn and I often talk about the layers that's in God's word. It's something that comes up quite often when we're talking about the word of God. Every step that the Christian takes should be a step of obedience to the Holy Spirit, and that allows the Holy Spirit to lead us into places we never would have dreamed of being, giving us access to God's word. Amen? We should be gleaning from the word of God on a daily basis, not just reading it for reading's sake. So first of all, he gives us the book of instructions. He'll never give us anything contrary to the book. And he'll never seek his own will above what he makes available to us. So everything that God has available for you is recorded in this book. It's recorded in heaven. It's been made available to us. And every promise of God according to his will for us is then available. The closer we get to him through a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the closer we get to the deep things of God. You know, a young lady says, I'm going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit if I should marry that unsaved man. She doesn't need to pray. She just needs to read the word. Don't be unequally yoked. You know, a man prays, I'm going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit whether or not I should tie. Don't pray. Read his word. What does God say about tithing? Study it out. If you don't understand it, seek out deeper clarification. Seek someone out who's a regular tither. Seek someone out, perhaps, if you're bold enough, to seek someone who studied the word. Don't need to pray about those things because it's already in the book. Amen? So basically, and I'm not downgrading the Bible, it's a set of instructions given to us by our guide for life. But sometimes the specifics of what you're praying about are not covered in the word. That's when we're meant to pray and seek the Holy Spirit, seek the face of God, seek the hand of God, whatever it is. For example, the Bible may tell us to spread the good news about the gospel, but it doesn't specifically say how we do that. You know, Pam, this Saturday morning at 7 a.m., according to John chapter 17, verse 13, you'll get out of bed on the right-hand side of the bed, have your cup of coffee, shower please, put on some nice clothes, pick up your Bible under your left arm, drive down to the Ocean Street corner of Coral Street. There you will find some men, preach to them out of the book of Luke chapter 2. Did everyone follow that in their Bible? No, he says, go therefore in all the world, preaching good news. Amen? Not doom and gloom, good news. You know, even the army's got a set of general orders. Ross, you served in national service. You would have done guard duty at some time. Tony, I know you did guard duty at some time. General orders. General orders set up that when you're on guard duty, certain things must be adhered to. There is one general order in there that covers everything else. If you don't know the answer, seek out the corporal of the guard and he will clarify that situation to you. Isn't the word of God really just like that? I can't find the specific thing it says about such and such. I've searched high and low, I've asked my pastor, I've asked my connect group, I've googled it, I've done the, I'm still not sure about it. Holy Spirit, guidance. Amen? You and I are to call on God personally to fill in the details. Now, I've gone over time. See what you made me do? If we don't get it, if we haven't got a leading to a passage, to a verse, to a scripture, to an understanding, that's where Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. That's why the Word and the Spirit of God must dwell together. Amen? You know, when I was a little boy, my mum used to call me in every night before I go to bed. And she'd have her Bible with her. And she'd speak to me every night. She'd say, Lou, this is the Bible. This Bible is the Word of God. Every night she would say that to me before I went to bed. She made me repeat it 3 times. This is the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. Then she'd say something like, don't ever let anyone detract you from what the Word of God says. If you're not sure about it, go to the Bible, because the Bible is the Word of God. And even in my early teenage years, you know, when I was just starting to flex the muscles a bit and trying to get out of that stuff, she would say to me, now remember, son, this is the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. Don't let any scholars, don't let any university professors, don't let your high school teachers, don't let your friends detract you from the truth that this is God's Word. What a godly mum. What a persistent mum. But what a God-fearing mum. To make sure that her 4 kids every night, individually, not together, it was an individual thing, made sure that this holy Word of God was something that we would never, ever let go. Well, I let go of it, but it never let go of me. And I'm so glad about that. You see, this is God's eternal Word. Forever settled in heaven. Forever. It's brought to you by the Holy Spirit. Taught to you by the Holy Spirit. Settled with you by the Holy Spirit. What a book. What a plan God had when He sent His book to earth through holy men, breathed on and moved by the Holy Spirit. What a Savior we have when the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. But what a teacher we have in the Holy Spirit of God when He teaches these things out of His Father's Word. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Oh, God, thank you. God, thank you for your Word which just never ceases to amaze me. The depths, the layers, the intricacies, of the simplicity, of the straightforwardness, that confuses wise men but lifts common man. It takes us from a natural being to a supernatural being with one revelation, with one acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Saviour, with one acceptance that this is your Word and it's going to last forever. But Lord, you breathe your Holy Spirit over those words, and they've become life to us who believe. I thank you, Lord, that I've done everything today that I could do to deliver your Word faithfully and truthfully, to lift us all to a new level of reading and understanding and dwelling and getting revelation on your Word. I pray, Lord, that every one of us has been touched by your Holy Spirit in this house today. We give you praise, the honour, and we give you glory now. And we look forward, Lord, to you coming again through those clouds to take us away to be with you. Give you thanks now. Amen. Amen.